Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a special schus for the Ami Yoshev B'tzion, miyuchad le Golan ben Gabriela, and for David ben Ziva, Rabbi Yosef ben Chana, Nezra Chaim ben Esther of the Am Simcha Dedin Aminu, Elisha ben Ruti, Matan ben Dvora, and the Chayachai Fegel Masachatis Basia, and Rus Victor Vasil Rovida, Shalom Baruch Abad Sach, B'tzhtem Nechit, Rus B'chaim Tzvi, We're going to be discussing the Inyan of Tuma and Kol Kavuah Mechta Mechta Dami and the Sefer Shari Torah. Shari Torah is an 8-volume set, just an unbelievable masterpiece written by Hagoyin Agadol Rav Shmuel Volk. Rav Shmuel Volk, Rav Shmuel Lazer Volk, was a Telzer Talmud who came to America. And he was a Ram for many years in the Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. And then at the end of his life, he moved to Miami Beach. The Sefer was written in Miami Beach, or at least published there, in 1978. Just for historical accuracy, he writes here that he lived on Flamingo Drive, 28040 Flamingo Drive, Miami Beach, Florida. There it is. And to write such chedushim on Flamingo Drive, I don't know how much it's been done since then. But he was really something special. He was a Goyin Olam Rifalk. Just see from his sefer, he just goes. It's like one long eight from like one long mimer. He just goes from, you know, he starts and he goes from one inyan, and then he connects that to the next inyan, and then he goes to a third inyan, which is connected to the second, which is connected to the first, and then he goes to the fourth. And each siman he writes, there's a hemsheikh of this siman and the hemsheikh of this siman. He just, you know, he's a mayan of his gaber. He's an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. So it's a schus to learn his Torah. Brachas yotesa mit aleph. Toshma adam rav lezer rav tzadik medalgen hayinu hagebe arona shal meisim lukas malcha Yisrael. So the rav lezer tzadik was a kohen, and he would skip over the aronas of dead people of meisim to malcha Yisrael and even to malcha Yakum. And the Gemara says, how's that mutter? And the Gemara answers, because it's for kavod malachim. And usually, most kvarim, according to Divrei Torah, if there's a chalal tefach, if there's an opening of a tefach between the mace and the oil on top of it, so then it's a chatzitza. If it doesn't have a chalal tefach, it's not a chatzitza. And they made a gzeira for when it does have a chalal tefach, for a case where it doesn't have a chalal tefach. So basically, the rabbis were metamei all kvarim. Even though rov kvarim are say there, but the rabbis were metamei all the kvarim. But that's only din derabbanan. And mishum kavod malachim, the rabbis weren't geyser. So that's how the Gemara explains this behavior of being metamei themselves at the kvarim. So in the Rokeach, sim tov samach zayin, just to give a little background, who the Rokeach was. Rabbi Lazar of Worms. And he wrote the Sefer Rokeach, which the Rokeach in Hebrew is equal to Elazar. And he was a big Mekubal and a Talmud Chacham, the member of the Chasidei Ashkenaz, a group of German Jewish pietists, what they call. He was born in 1176. He was Nifter in 1238. He was most probably born in Mainz. And he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel of Regensburg, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, who initiated him to the study of Kabbalah. He was a Chazan, he was a Rav, and he suffered greatly during the Crusades. The Jewish Encyclopedia says that on the 922nd of Kislev, he was writing his parish on Bereshis. He says he reached Vayeshev when two crusaders entered his house and killed his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, and his two daughters, and wounded him and his son Yaakov. And his wife had conducted a business in parchment scrolls to support the family, so he can sit and learn, see what the Jews went through. He was a liturgist. He was an astronomer, he knew science, he was a mystic, he had visions. He was a great Mekubal, a lot of gematrias, and he was a little bit of an ascetic. And even though he was so severely tried by fate, he inculcates cheerfulness, patience, and love for humanity. Well, that's what it says about him in the on his Wikipedia page. And he's a Sefer Aderes Hashem, which is still extant in a manuscript in the Vatican Library. I wonder how many beautiful Sfarim are in the Vatican Library. He has a Sefer on the incorporeality of Hashem. Shouldn't think Hashem has a goof. And even though there are Divrei Agada that describe God in human terms, obviously we shouldn't understand them kipshuto. And there's a long list of Sfarim that he wrote. Okay, that's the Sefer HaRoikach, and the author of the Sefer HaRoikach. And now we get back to our scheduled programming. So, Frekta HaRoikach, Binyin Kavua Kavua Kamechza Mechza Dami Vader, Minim Perak Misha Mesa Medaga Ongino Agave HaRoinais, the Rov HaRoinais, the Alme Yishlim Pasech Tefach, Umi Dalme Inbem, Shem Brona Shem Medaga Nhoi Bekulim Pasech Tefach, So here's a problem. Problem is, kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzal dummy. If it's kavua, if it's set, it's 50-50. So if you have tumor iser that are set in one place, doesn't matter that there's a rov, it's 50-50. So even though rov graves are kosher, they're not matami because it's pasiach tefach. But nevertheless, the graves are kavua, and kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzal dami. So it's 50-50. So how do you say that the rabbanan? It's only us at the rabbanan. So it's derais 50-50. Sveg derais lechumra. So that's the kasha of the rekeach. And he says that maybe the aronis that they would jump over all poseach tefach. Now this is a suffix. Maybe all the aronis were poseach tefach. There was an opening of a space of an empty tefach in between the mace and the oil. And and therefore, as is explained by a later sefer, what he means is that you can't say kavua kol kavua kamechta mechta dami because maybe there's no iser at all. Now, zechor, this is fake sveke here. Suffolk if there's bechlal kavua. Now, is there an iser kavua here? Maybe there's no iser at all. And even if it is kavua, then kol kavua kamechza mechza means 50-50. So you have a sveik sveik, or you could be mekel. Maybe there's no kavua at all, and if there is kavua, it's 50-50. So sveik sveik or mekel. The only problem is that we know that when it comes to sveik tuma, if it's sveik tuma b'rishus hayachid, so even sveik sveik is tummy. Sveik 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 is tummy. So here it's chor rishus seyachid. There are not a lot of people walking in cemeteries, right? Rishus seyachid and rishus rabbi by tumas. Are there people there? Not people there. There are no people here. Very few, not living ones anyway. So melech rishus seyachid. Rishus seyachid. So it doesn't matter how many sveik sveikas you have. It's tummy. So here sveik sveik is tummy. So he's. So the chayr, the rekech's teretz is that it's a sveik sveika, suffik whether it's bechal kavua. And even if it's kavua, so mechzal mechza, so it's a nacha suffik. But, and therefore you're midarais, it's okay. Ma piton. By tuma, even sveik sveika is tame. So another teretz given is that here it's not shayich, kavua. Based on what it says in the Azurah Chasavelosim Tafresh Gimel, the Hadika Amar, the Perak Mishemesim, the Dalgan Yino Agabe Arona Shal Mesim, Shalaratsu Lidruch Mishumas Yisura. In other words, they didn't actually step on the graves. They would skip over them. Okay, so that's the first Nidbach in our, the first. Stage in our teretz. They would skip over the graves. They wouldn't actually touch the graves. And so they're skipping over them. And in Brachas Nun Gimel, it says that when you're going outside a krach and you see a light, it's talking about saying Berem Reish. You only have to say Berem Reish if it's a light that rested over Shabbos. If a goy lit a candle on Shabbos, you know how to say Berem Reish. So if you see you're walking outside the city and you see a lit fire, so you're allowed to say Berem Reish or not. So Gemara says that if it's mostly goyim, no, and if mostly Jews, yes. Magen Avram and Reish Ches Tzadi 13 asks, why don't we say a kol kavul kamechza mechza dami? So, since it's kavua, so even if it's Rov Yisrael, but it's kavua, so then it's should be 50-50. Since they're kavua there, so then it's 50-50, even if it's Rov Yisrael, how can you be samech lekula? So he writes, maybe, very interesting, the light that separates is not kavua. In other words, the Machtzis HaShekel explains that the light and the candle are two separate things. The ner is something considered kavua, but not the light. The light is pyresh from the kavua ner. The ner is kavua. The ner stays in one place. I guess the people there are kavua, and memela their neres are kavuin, and but the or separates from the kavua, so it's pyresh. If it's pyresh, then it's already follow the rov. And he says the same thing about the besamim, that you're only allowed to make a bracha on the besamim if it's kasher besam, belongs to Gaya, maybe it was used for kishuf. So, but if it's 50, if it's mostly Jews, it says that you could be somech in Rov Yisrael Mavarech. Why? Because the same idea that the etzem boisam maybe isn't okay, but that's kol kavua kamechza mechza, it's 50-50. But the reach that is poresh from the boisam is poresh. Poresh, you go after the rov. And so if it's mostly Jews, you could be somech that it's beseder. So here also, even though the kvarim themselves are kavua, but the tumas oyel is like light that comes out of the candle, or the smell that comes out of the besamim, that's considered poresh. The light itself is kavua, it's considered in a set place, but the or that emanates from it is considered poresh, that you follow the rov. Here also you follow the rov, besamim. So you're also by the kvarim. The kever in achinami is kavua, but the tumah that emanates from the kever, that's that. There you follow the rov. That's why here you have a rov, because they didn't step on the actual grave; they jumped over it. So then you're not done the actual grave. You're done the, which is tame. You're done the tumah that emanates from the grave. So as far as the tumah that emanates from the grave goes, then that's poresh. So poresh, you follow the rov, and here the rov kvarim are there's no tuma, right? Because there's pasach tefach. So that's this teretz of, it's brought by Rashi Tevis Pehe Aleph. I don't know what sefer Pehe Aleph he's referring to. Any event, so that's the teretz given by this sefer. L'chora, it's not, you can't really compare, because the reach that comes from the besamim and the light that comes from the ner are dvarim gashmim. So there are, you know, things in the air that if we would have a, you know, the proper microscope or whatever you need, you could see that there are light waves or smell waves, whatever it is. There are things in the air that it separates, that separate from the besamim or from the or. There is something gashmi there. Again, you just need the right kli, you need the right the right microscope in order to see it, but it's there. So this is a metzius. And Mela, there you could say a din of Pyrish. That this physical metzius was Pyrish from the Iker, from the Or and from the Ner and from the Besamim. But by Tuma, even if you say that Tuma is a metzius, which is an interesting discussion, l'chor it is. Nevertheless, right, it's not just a din, but it's a metzius. We've discussed this in the past, I believe, in our shiurim, maybe in our Talmudic methodology shiurim. In any event, an interesting article about it by Professor Henschke in one of the Sinai journals. Anyway, so even if you say it's a metzius, nevertheless, it's a metzius ruchni. So you can't say that it's pirish min ames. It's not a chefta that it's shaykh, that it should have the same pirish. And and even if you say that by Tumah there's a Torah of Piresh, that it did separate, that there is such a Chefza, but that's not an Achushim. It's not what the Torah was talking about. The Torah is Mechalek between Kavu and Piresh. It wasn't talking about Piresh, it wasn't talking about Tumah, which is something abstract and spiritual. That's not the Piresh that the Torah was talking about. And that's what he heard from Rav Volk, heard from Chaim Soloveitchik, from Rav Chaim Brisker, and that we paskin that mitzvah lav lehanes nidno. I don't know if he heard it directly from him, but he heard it from somebody. Heard it from him, or in his name, that we paskin mitzvah lav lehanes nidno. It doesn't mean that it's not considered a hana. You don't get enough from doing a mitzvah. Who doesn't get enough from doing a mitzvah? It's more geschmack than a mitzvah. That doesn't have Torah's hana that the Torah was talking about, b'tzirei hana. So here also, manav shach. Either you can say that it's an inyan ruchni, so it's not perish at all. You can't say that it separates because it's purely spiritual. It's not considered that it separates from the mace. And even if you say that it is separating, but it's not a chosh of a separating, lenyan dinei Torah, just like the hana of a mitzvah is not considered hana lenyan dinei Torah. So that's as far as that teretz of being parish. Another he'ara is that the kever is mitame because it's tumah ritzutza, and they write the tumah breaks through the ground, goes up. The Gemara Nazir says that a kever is Tumah Ritzutza, right? Nazir Nun Gimel. And Tumah Ritzutza is like Negia, like we see in Chulin Kuf Chaf Hei. So it's like when you come into contact with the kever, so it's like you're Nogea B'meis Atzmo. It's like the mace expanded. And you're touching the actual mace. And so wrote to him Maharal Dubin, or Rubin. It's probably Rubin, and it's probably referring to the great Rav of Vilkomir. It's Mirashi Agudas Harabanim Belita. He lived from 1850 to 1935. And he's very active in communal issues of the Yidden in Lithuania. And maybe he's famous because one of his sons-in-law is Panovich Arov, Yossi Shlomo Kahaneman. Anyway, so that's what the Reb Aryeh Leib Rubin, the Reb Leib Vilkomir, that's what he wrote to him, that this... that Tumah Ritzutza is kinegia, and the pshat is it's a skila yod nagea b'meis atzma. It's like the mace. It's like the mace was misrachev. You're actually touching the mace. See, we wanted to say that it's pyresh. No, it's not pyresh. This Tumah Ritzutza is that you're touching the actual mace. Didn't separate from nothing. Separated. It's considered in halacha like you're actually touching the mace. However, in the Sefer Shari Toyar of Unzer Revolk, in the first volume, he says not like that. He says that by Tumas Kever, we don't say Tumas Ukinagia, even though the Tumas is Tumas Ritzutza. Chelik Aleph, Shinayin Aleph, page 371. So it's not Kinogea Bahames. Elishem Mikol Mokom, the Nafkamina would be B'mokom Shahames B'soichoi. V'hanu Kineged Ames Mamish Havi Kinegia. Masha Kasafti Sham, Havi Raka Latzada Rekon Sheba Kever. Knows that he wrote in the Siman over there in Shari Torah, in page 371, is talking about the empty part of the Kever. The empty part of the Kever is also Tumar Ritzutza, but that's not Kinegia. But the if you're opposite the mace itself, that's Kinegia. So Lefizeh, how are they jumping over the Kever? Maybe it was over the mace itself, and then it's Kinogin Boy Mamish, and you can't say that it's Pirish, because it isn't Pirish. It's like they're touching the mace itself. And there's no more kol, and it's kol kavoka mechza mechza dami. However, he says there, according to Sarambam, it's not true. Even Kineged HaMeis, it's not Mikri Kinegeah. So that maybe will be the topic for another shir. Is it Kinegeah HaMeis Atzmo or not? So that would be a Masu Matan in that Teretz of the, maybe the Sefer is Pri HaAdama, Pri HaAretz. I don't know, Pei Hei Aleph. Anyone knows, you can contact me and tell me. So the Teretz that Revolk suggests is as follows. That it says, this is a big yesod, this mamash elam d'shezach, that it says in the Sifri Zuta and Parashas Chukas, hanegea b'meis tamei, ve'ena meis atzmoi tamei. You hear the chiddush? That when you touch a mace, when you touch the mace, you're tamei, but the mace isn't tamei. I remember that Rav Yosef Engel takes this to town. Very Rav Yosef Engelish. Rav Yosef Engel is mamash. Hafle b'fella, Rav Yosef Engel's Torahs. So sweet. There's a few Rabbanim that their Torah is just me'alu me'ever. It's just, you know, it's Gan Eden. One of them is Reb Chaim Brisker. One is Reb Shimon Shkup. And one is Reb Yosef Engel. These are people are just there. Rogat Shavar also, obviously, is Torah. Le'elu le'elu mikol b'rchasa v'shirasa. It's mamish amazing. We're zeicha to have in our generation. It's all accessible. All you need is two eyes and a computer. It's all right there. Even if you don't have a computer. In any event, the tumah is only on the negeya. The mesa atzmo doesn't have tumah. When we call shekain, shekainu bekever, that the kever itself isn't tame. It's just mitame. And according to this, we can say bepshitos, right? You hear the chiddush. Hanegeya bemeis tame ve'ena meis atzmo tame. If you touch the mace, you're tame. The mace isn't tame. And the ground isn't tummy, the kever isn't tummy, it's just your tummy. If you step on a kever, step over a kever. So according to that, we can say b'pshitus, that it doesn't help. Shalei mahani ma'ashen meis kavua, because the mace itself doesn't have tumah. V'mishi yesh bo tumah shuadam anogea b'kever lohu piresh. V'shuv lek lahakshos mikol kavua. So the mace itself doesn't have tumah. And the person who's nogeya in this tumah, so he's not kavua. Says no kol kavua kamechza mechza dami. The mace isn't mitame itself, so it's not considered kavua. And so who's the suffix about the nogeya? But the nogeya is not kavua. So maybe you can ask him kol kavua kamechza mechza dami. K'faharachnu b'sifri zuta b'kame mekoymes b'sifreinu. Like I said, it's mamish. You know, 8 volumes, each one's like 400, 500, 600 pages of massive Torah. And it just goes on and on with incredible ingenuity and originality and vast scholarship and knowledge. Shmuel Volk, it's mamish. It's about tashchis that people don't learn his Torah more. I remember when I was in, spent some time, never actually was an official Talmud in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, but I was once spent a few weeks in Washington Heights. I remember that. Also, I was in MTA. Spent a few weeks there too as a student. In any event, so I remember the back, they have a few shelves of the Svarim of the Rosh Yeshiva, present and past Rosh Yeshiva. So you can look there if you happen to be in that base medrash. any event, so numerous places in the Shari Toyar, he talks about this inyan, this Sifri Zuta, that in Ogea b'meis tomei v'ena meis atzmo tomei. What is the Sifri Zuta? Just good to know, give a little background. It's a Medrash Halacha and Sefer Bamidbar. We lost most of it. And there's also the Sifri of Bamidbar. That's a different Sifri. This is parallel to Medrash Halacha. The Sifri in Bamidbar is from the base Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. Sifri Zuta is from the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. And recently, Professor Menachem Kahana revealed, found some leftovers of the Medrash similar on Sefer Dvarim, so he called it Sifri Zuta on Dvarim. And why is it called Zuta? Zuta means small. So it's not because there's not so much there, so much written, but because it's not, isn't so common. And the Chokrim found some unique aspects about this Medrash. That the Mishnah, when they quote the Mishnah, it's usually not like our Nusach and the Mishnah. Usually in the base of Medrash Rabbi Akiva, it is like our Nusach and the Mishnah. And there's a whole vort here from the Wikipedia page from Shaul Lieberman. It's interesting. They have the Hebrew Wikipedia page, and then they have the English one, which is much more expansive. So I thought the English would be a translation from the Hebrew from the English, but it's a... The English is written a lot more, so why don't they just take what's written in the English and put it in the Hebrew? In any event, but that's the Sifri Zut, and the Sifri Zut says this Chiddush. You can find out more about it today. You can research anything. So he says this Chiddush that the mace itself is not metame, and only the person is, and the person becomes tame. The mace is not metame, and memela, there's no kavua here because the mace itself is a metame. The kever itself is not metame, and therefore you can't say kavua. And since there's no kavu, it's not mechza, mechza dummy. The person is parish. And maybe the rokeach who asked this kasha, why don't we say kavu? Maybe he holds that it's the kever isn't mitame because of the tumah ritzutza, the kever is mitame ba'atzma. The kever is an ava tumah mitzad atzma. And it says in the Torah, oba kaver. So it's not tummy because of the mace inside of it. It's because of the kever itself is itself tuma. And the rokech doesn't hold that it's tummy because of the mace inside of it, or it's begeder yad lemace, like Revolt talks about elsewhere, or it's kemes b'ksuso, like it says in the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Chaf Hei. No, it's tuma mitzad atzmo, and that it says hanogeb b'mace tummy v'ena mace atzmo tummy. That was said about a mace, not another tumas. And here the kever is tamei mitzad atzmo. And since the kever is tamei mitzad atzmo, so the kever is, it's not about the mace. The kever itself is tamei, and it's kavua. So called kavua kamechza mechza dami. That's why he asks his kasha. But if you say it's out to the mace, well, then the mace isn't mitame. Only the person's mitame when it comes to the contact with the mace. If the kever is only tamei because of the mace, so then the kever is not mitame, it's only the person. It's only the person who comes to contact is tummy. So there's no kavua on the kever or the mace. But if you hold that the kever itself is tuma, then you can't say what the Sifri Zuta is talking about. Sifri Zuta is not talking about the kever itself. The mace itself. Mace is not mitame, the person is, but other tumas are themselves tummy. And therefore he asked his kasha. And like we said, he gave his teretz of Sveik Sveika, which we cast aspersions upon, as the kashan. But if you hold again that it's the mace that's mitame and the kever is tame because it's tumah ritzutza. So then you have a teretz there's no kvius on the mace because it's not the mace. The mace might be kavua, but it's not the mace that's mitame. So you can't say kol kavua kamechzel mechzedami. So we had a number of terutzim. The one teretz is that it's it's a sveika. Maybe there's no mesa. Maybe there's no pus. Maybe there's no tumor tuts at all. Maybe there's no tum at all. And even if there is, then kokavocha mechza mechza mitzvah sveik sveika. Or we said that it's pyresh, the tum is pyresh. And we asked about that. Is that really true that the you could say about tumah that it's pyresh from the mace? And we said maybe tumah ratutz anyway is like touching the mace itself. And then the third teretz we said is that the mace is in metame. It's the one who's no gab mace. So you can't say the mace is kavua. And that's why, and therefore it should be metame, because it's not the mace, that the mace itself isn't tame. It's only the person, and the person's pyresh. So those are the some insights into this medalgan hayinu agabe ronish al meisim. Of course, there's a velt more to say, Rabbi Yisai. So hopefully, stay tuned, and I hope we've already learned in the past from the Shari Tyre, because his expertise was with this tum and tyre and kolchim, mamish half leva fella. But in this sefer in chelik shishi, it's sugyas that are easier for people like me, for amiratzim like me, in hilchos yisodei haTorah, yishas, gerushin, things that are more familiar to the average 14-year-old yeshiva bacher, which is more or less on the level that I'm on, a little bit lower. But I'll get there, Mitzvah Shem. If I learn enough, then I'll get on the level of 14-year-old yeshiva bacher. But that's what this sefer is about, Chelek Shishi. So I invite everybody to learn more in Mitzvah Shem. Hopefully we'll have more shiurim, hopefully on this sugi itself, and hopefully from the Shari Tari. Thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friend.